The Lord Jesus Christ, when he spoke to his disciples over in Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 10, he reminded them and left them in no doubt that because they loved him and because they were going to serve him, it wasn't going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be trouble. You're going to be hated. You're going to be despised. You're going to be put to death. And you find that teaching in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 16 to verse 23. He told them how great would be their sufferings in following Jesus Christ. And we know when you read the book of Acts, that's what you find. It wasn't easy. These men loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard his call. He says, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they went out and they preached. But you find this, they were hated. You will find they were persecuted. You'll find they were cast into prison. You'll find that some were even put to death. Why was this? Because they preached the gospel. Because they preached it. That's what Christ called them to do, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And you can find how they suffered. You take, for instance, in Acts 5 and verse 40, it tells us about the Jewish, religious Jews, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, listen, and beaten them, and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. When you find these men of God are taken here, and they're whipped, and they're beaten, and they're hated, and they're despised, and the command goes out to them, listen, do not go out and preach in this man's name. Of course, they never listened. And that's the way it is to be. If ever comes the law in this land, we're not to preach the gospel. It'll do the church good. But get on her feet. And get a bit of fire into her bellies. And we'll stand up for Christ. Remember, Apostle Paul says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And these men preached. And they suffered. And you can follow that right into the life of this man who was Saul, became known as the Apostle Paul. When he got converted, God spoke to one of his children, a man, an old saint called Ananias. And he told him to go and to lay his hands upon Saul, who had been struck down blind, but had been converted. And he says to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, and to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And God says to Ananias, go into this man and lay your hands upon him. But I'm going to show this man something. And what was God going to show him? He said, I'll show him the great things he's going to suffer. That's what God said. I'm going to show him the great things he would suffer. Listen, for my name's sake. And that's what we find here when we come to this chapter of Acts, chapter 16. Paul and Silas, sent of God into the city of Philippi, preaching the word of God. What great things were taking place. Lydia had religion, friends, but she was not saved. And there may be someone here tonight, you have religion, but you haven't Christ. This woman had religion. She didn't have Christ. Why? The Lord opened her heart. Lydia was converted. The young woman who was held by a demonic evil spirit of fortune telling, she was delivered and set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Well, you would have thought people would have been rejoicing. You would have thought, well, great things are happening here in our city. But it was not so. They rose up in wrath against him. The man who made money out of this young woman was not pleased. They went to the magistrates, complained, these men are going about and they're teaching things. It's not lawful here. And they got the Apostle Paul and Silas, and we find here that they laid, listen, many stripes upon them, beat them and cast them into prison. And there they are, cast into prison, held in stocks. Well, wouldn't you think? With a cast down? With a groaning? Did they say, well, Lord, why did you send us into this city? Why are we beaten? Why are we closed up? Oh, not a bit of it. It says in verse 25, in the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Oh, friends, they were not cast down. They were not thrown in the towel. They were not complaining. They were not murmuring. No, they were singing and they were praising unto God. And then we find here, and while they're here, great things happened. Because it tells us about a man who was converted. You see, God's ways are not our ways. There was a man in this jail God wanted to reach. And so he brought the men into the jail. It's good to know God is over salvation. He planned it all. He's working out all of these things. And he brought Paul and Silas into this jail. And this jailer was awoken. An earthquake. He comes in trembling. He falls down before Paul and Silas. And he asked this great question. The big question. He says, what must I do to be saved? How can I get to heaven? How can I get my sins forgiven? What must I do to be saved? Is there someone here tonight and you're uttering these words in your heart? What must I do to be saved? And there are three simple things I want to say about this question. We can see about the jailer in it. The jailer and his anxiety. Here is a man, you know, and he's crying from the very depth of his heart. He's anxious. He's anxious about his soul. You can hear it in the very tone of his voice. He's crying out. He says, what must I do to be saved? Dear friends, look at his actions towards Paul and Silas. He was not always anxious. It tells us when Paul and Silas was given to them. You know what it says? He thrust them into the inner prison. Now you see the word trust. It means with violence. He threw them in roughly. He handled them disrespectfully. He got a hold of Paul and Silas, and friends, he threw them into prison. He wasn't worried about God's servants. He was not worried about his soul. He was not concerned about his sin. But things have changed. Now he is. Now he is anxious. Now he is concerned. What made the difference? God. God stepped into his life. That's made the difference in a great way. And we find here, what did God do to make him anxious? Well, listen, he shook his world upside down. Because it tells us here in the verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were open, and there were four things here happened. There was an earthquake. There was a shaking. The place shook. The foundations were moved. Doors were thrown open. The bonds, the chains fell off their prisoners in a moment. Everything changed, friends. It happened suddenly. It says in verse 26, listen, and suddenly. This was not a progressive thing. No, this happened in a moment. In a moment, God stepped into this man's life. Listen, suddenly, he shook it. He shook his whole life. Remember, the prison was his life. He was top dog. He was the prison officer, the governor. He was the top man in the job. This was his life. And friends, God shook it. God shook this man's life to get his attention. Now he's anxious. Now he's crying out, what must I do to be saved? A few moments before this, he wasn't worried tuppence about Christ, tuppence about his soul or his sin or eternity. But suddenly, things had changed. God has stepped into his life. Of course, that had happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. You can read about that over in the book of Acts in the chapter 9. As he made his journey, it tells him he was going to Damascus there to get God's people into prison. And it says, and as he journeyed, he came unto Damascus. Listen, and suddenly there shined right about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And so we find here in the life of the Apostle Paul that suddenly God stepped into his life in a moment, and God shook him. But he was concerned. Remember, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? God deals with people like us today. There are people that are closed up in a cell of sin, cell of pleasure, cell of religion, cell with all their possessions. But God, in his mercy, he shakes their life to get their attention. And there's someone tonight in this meeting, unconverted, and God is shaking your life and speaking to you. You're not listening. But he has shaken your life. And troubles have come into your life. Personal troubles, financial troubles, physical troubles. Because God wants your attention. And you're not, tonight you're anxious about your soul. You're anxious about your soul. Because he shakes your life, friends. And so he finds his anxiety, how it happened suddenly, how God did this. He shook his life. And then we find not only that was there a shaking, there was an awakening. Because in verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep. Now before this, he was settled at peace. Not a care in the world. But here we find something happens to him. Not only was there a shaking, there was an awakening. He awoke out of his sleep. Not just a physical sleep. Of course that happened. But a spiritual sleep. God is waking him. God has opened up the eyes here of this man. And God awoke him up. This man now was anxious. He's anxious about his life. He's anxious about his sin. He's anxious about his soul. I'm lost without Jesus Christ because God has awakened him. And he cries out, what must I do to be saved? He's anxious because God has awakened him. He's now convicted of a sin that he's lost without Christ. And that's what God does for people. People need to be awakened. Not only physically, but spiritually. I don't know. There are people around this church tonight, homes, and they do not know that they're lost. They don't know it. They do not know that they're in sin, that they're under the wrath of God. And they do not know if they die as they are, they're lost for all eternity. And so they're not anxious. Oh, no, they're happy enough, aren't they? They're in the world, the pleasures, all the rest of it. Never thinking about Christ, never thinking about eternity. They need to be awakened, need their eyes opened to show the danger they're in. That happened to myself one time. I did not know at one time in my life that I was lost. I did not know I was going to hell. I didn't really care much about these things at all until I went to a gospel mission and I heard a man giving his testimony, a brother Joe Peden. And that night the gospel and all preached and God spoke to my heart. He awoke me that night to what I was like in his sight. That I was in my sin. That I was lost. That Christ loved me. I was heading down towards hell. But I did not know. I didn't know these things. But from that night, I started to be anxious about my soul. That I was heading towards a lost eternity. Oh, unsaved person, this meeting tonight, you need to be awakened by God. And then another thing here that made him anxious was death. He was brought face to face with death in a twofold way, of course. He was feared of being killed because if the prisoners got free, the authorities would have killed them. You find that in Acts chapter 12 and verse 9, or verse 19, when Herod, he examined the keepers because Peter had escaped. And he commanded, how did Peter to get out? Well, when he found out that Peter was gone, he commanded that the keepers would be put to death. That was the law. And this man realized when the prison doors were flung open and the chains of the prisoners had fallen off, he was in danger of being put to death. And then, of course, he lifted up a sword and he was about to plunge it into himself. Suicide. Dear friends, when I came face to face with death, it made him anxious. What must I do to be saved? God can use death to speak to people. Maybe a family member of yours has died. Maybe a close friend. Maybe a neighbor. Maybe you've been so ill that you've been close to death. God has used it. And the Lord has been speaking to your heart about Christ, about eternity, about your sin, about your soul. And you're anxious. You're anxious tonight. Because God brought you face to face with death. What must I do to be saved? You find also that this man was filled with fear. He called for a light. Of course, he wanted spiritual light, but trembling. Verse 29 tells us that about him. Then he called for a light and sprang and listened and came trembling and fell before Paul and Silas and put the two together. Here's a man who's shaken with fear. Here's a man who's anxious. He's crying out from the very depth of his soul, what must I do to be saved? He's trembling. And dear friends, his heart is full of fear. Remember the faith, one of the thieves said to the other faith on the cross. In Luke 23, verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, doth thou not fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, you're going to die, you're going to be lost. Do you not fear God? This faith, of course, who asked that question, he feared God. He got right with God. But here's a man who's anxious. What must I do to be saved? Is that you in the meeting tonight? I know to every child of God in the meeting, you can point back to a time in your life you were like this. When God spoke to your heart, and shook your life, your heart was full of fear, whatever way he dealt with you. But he brought you to this place. Well, what must I do to be saved? I need to be saved. I need my sins taken away. I need a Savior. Are you anxious tonight about your soul? If you're not, I trust the Lord will make you anxious. And tonight you'll come to Christ. And so we have there the jailer and his anxiety. The big question. What must I do to be saved? Then we have the jailer and his answer. And I want to say to you, what a great answer, wonderful answer this man received. Remember, he asked a question. Remember, friends, he's concerned here. He wants to know. He wants to know how to get his sins forgiven. He wants to know the way to heaven. When he gets the answer, here's the answer. Paul and Silas said, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. Here's the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. There's a number of things to say about this answer. Think about the unity of the answer. You can see there in verse 31, and they said. They said. Paul and Silas said. This is a twofold witness. It was not that Paul said one way and Silas said another way. No, they said. They both agreed, these men of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who could save them. So they give the answer. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. And then you can think of the authority of the answer. Because where did they get their authority from? From Christ. That's where they got it from. They got this answer from the Bible. They didn't make it up themselves. No. This was God's answer from the Bible. Think of there in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 28 and verse 29. The people said to Christ, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Here's what Christ said. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And they came, what is this work we've got to do? And the same question. And Christ said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. He's speaking about himself. So Paul and Silas were just preaching the same message. Remember 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Notice this. It's not believe about him. Many people believe about the Lord Jesus Christ in this city. You can do maybe a survey around the homes and ask people, do you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe he came into this world? Do you believe in the virgin birth? Do you believe about his earthly home? Do you believe about his miracles? Do you believe about his death? His resurrection? Do you believe he's in heaven today? And many people in this city would say, yes, I believe that. But they're not saved. Now, it's important to believe that. But that doesn't save you, head knowledge. No, you must trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. The word believe means to commit or to put your faith upon. In other words, you're looking at this man and they're saying to him, if you want to be saved, you must trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. You must put your whole weight upon him. And notice the threefold answer. Believe on the Lord. The Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord. The word Lord means supreme in authority, controller. It's a title of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord. And that tells us about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or people going around like the false witnesses of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. No, they don't believe that at all. They even know the Bible tells us, for instance, in Romans chapter 14 and verse 9, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Or whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And then he said these words, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. Christ is Lord. If we live, we're living unto the Lord. If we die unto the Lord. And then it tells us that Jesus Christ is Lord. So important, you must believe on the Lord. Who he is, God who became man, that's the teaching of the Bible. And then it's Jesus. Jesus means Savior. It's just not a name. No, no, that a wonderful name of Christ it is, of course, but you must believe that he is the Savior. He alone can save you. He came into the world, he shed his blood, he made a sacrifice upon the cross. He alone can save you and take you to heaven. We were singing, I believe that Jesus saves. And his blood washes whiter than snow. And they're saying, you must trust Christ to be your Savior. He's done all the work. You must trust him. The Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the anointed one. This is what they're told to do. This is the authority of this answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's the same. That's the same message. Throughout all the years, friends, this has never changed. This is how God saves men and women and boys and girls. This is how he makes them right for heaven. This is how we can get everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Remember here, he's getting the answer. He's getting the answer how he could be saved. The authority of the answer. Can I say another thing about the answer? It's the only answer. It's the only answer. This answer does away with man's idea of salvation. As, of course, is join my our organization. Follow my cult. Follow my rules. No, no. Salvation, keep the law of God. Do the best you can. But the Bible tells us, for by grace he is saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here, it's the only answer. And there's no other answer. There's no other answer for the people of this city. But Jesus Christ. No other answer, friends. It's the only one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. There was no other answer they could give him. At the same time, he goes into this church tonight and says, what must I do to be saved? Well, I would say to him, and you would say to him here, child of God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the only answer you'll find in this congregation. It's the only answer you'll find preached in this pulpit. There's no other answer. It's the only answer. They didn't tell him to pray some particular prayer. They didn't tell him to pay some amount of money. Or do any amount of works. You think of Martin Luther, that monk. You can read his life story. He did all the works he could to try to get peace and to get life. He said if any man could be saved by monkery, that man was I. He tried everything. But friends, here's the only answer. Repent and come to Jesus Christ and trust him. And if you're unconverted in this meeting tonight, it's the only answer for your soul. There's no other answer. Now think of the simplicity of the answer. Just one short, simple answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. That's wonderful. The answer suits a little child. Isn't that wonderful? A little child. Our brother here works with children. We're good to see him in the ministry. And the Lord bless him in it. But here's a simple answer for boys and girls. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. It suits a wee child. Somebody who's old and feeble. Somebody who's weak. Someone who's foolish or ignorant. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. This is a simple answer. I remember years ago doing a mission around Newton Hamilton, and I was doing missions, and this man and his wife was coming to my missions, and I remember thinking, I must call in and ask them to another mission. They had been coming to it, and I would drop in and speak to them. I wanted to speak about their soul. I wanted to have a heart-to-heart with them. So I was driving up the road, and I was saying to myself, well, how am I going to get this round? Lord, help me get the conversation round about you and all the rest of it. I went into the house, and his wife was there. She brought me in, and I chatted away to her. She said, he's out there in the yard, and I'll get him in, and called him. And so he walked through the door, this farmer. And he looked at me, and I looked at him. I said, how are you keeping? And he took off his hat. And what he said to me? He says, Noah, what must I do to be saved? How can I be saved? Well, I said, well, I'll sit down there, and I'll show you. He says, listen, I can't read a word. I can't read or write. But can you tell me? I said, I can tell you. And I opened up the Bible in that man's house, my friend. He couldn't read it, but I told him from the Bible about Christ. Savior of the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. And come and trust him and be saved. And that man got saved, friends. And he was a great witness for Christ for many years after it. A simple answer. A wonderful, simple answer for you tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And listen, you have the certainty of the answer, thou shalt be saved. There's no work. And we live in proof here tonight in this meeting. Every child of God in this service, we're living proof that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. The certainty of the answer, thou shalt be saved. That's the message of the gospel. Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. And you're glad you're still preaching this message from the pulpit and still standing for the gospel here in the city of Londonderry. We have the certain, true, powerful, only answer. Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. Here's the certainty of it. And I want to say to anyone here tonight, you can be saved by trusting Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Maybe some of God's people here tonight have doubts. So we all have those. We have battled against them. But here's the promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. Here's the certainty of the answer. So we have his answer. And I hope you can see tonight how you can be saved. By repenting from your sin and trusting Christ. And Christ alone. Can I say last thing very quickly about the jailer and his action? And what I mean by the jailer and his action was this. He got the answer. But what did he do with it? What did he do with the answer? Did he say, well, thanks very much, man. I just wrap it up and put it in his back pocket and say, well, that's very good of you. Or did he say, I don't like the answer. Don't like it at all. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No. You will find here in this passage, he accepted the answer. And immediately by the grace of God, he believed. He believed. And listen, he was saved. You can find this in the passage, verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, listen, and rejoiced and believing in God with all his house. He's believing in God. Christ is God. Listen, with all his heart. For years he had not believed. Now he believes that Jesus saves. He's put his faith in Christ. Look at verse 34. And rejoice. He's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. His sins are forgiven. He's on his way to heaven. What a wonderful change in his life has been wrought since Jesus came into his heart. Some people think if I get saved, it'll spoil my life. Oh, dear friends, not at all. It's a wonderful thing to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. He's rejoicing. I hope you're rejoicing tonight, child of God. I'm believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm saved. He's rejoicing. Of course, we see him carrying here in verse 33. He hooked them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And so we find him caring for God's feet. Different man altogether. Before that, he got a hold of these fellows and he fired them into prison. No, no, he has them out. He's changed. He's caring for them. Because the Lord Jesus Christ changes you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. He'll change you tonight. You become a new person. Of course, he's obeying. He gets baptized. And he gets baptized here and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what did he do with the answer? He acted on the answer. He trusted Christ and he followed him. He put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ was the answer. He believed. He believed, friends, with all his heart, that Jesus saved him, that could save him. And he trusted him. And this man was converted in a moment. And the Lord Jesus can do that for you here tonight in this meeting. If you trust him, with all your heart, he will save you and give you everlasting life. The story is told, of course, at the going down of the Titanic. You've heard it before. But 4 years after the Titanic, a young Scotsman, he arose in a meeting in Hamilton. And he says, I am a survivor of the Titanic. And he told about the going down of that great ship. And there was another man on that ship called John Harper, evangelist of Glasgow. And this young man told that when the ship was going down, there he was holding on to a piece of wood, and he came in contact with this man on the sea who was John Harper. He didn't know him. And John Harper looked at this man in the sea, and he says, are you saved? And the young man says, I am not. And John Harper says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. And the young man said how the sea took them apart. But providentially, the sea brought them together again. And John Harper says to the young man, are you saved? He said, I cannot honestly say that I am. And John Harper shouted, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. That young man told, there alone in the night, with 2 miles of water under me. And he says, I believe I am John Harper's last convert. He heard the message, friends, on the sea. And he got saved. The only answer. The other day I was doing doors and on along, I met a lady in the doors in the visitation. And she looked at me and I got on well with her. She said, I believe nothing. I believe nothing, she says. And I put her through a few things. Tried to talk to her, but as I was leaving her, and she at the door, and I was walking down the pathway, and she says, I believe nothing. And I turned around to that woman. You know what I said to her? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Roman Catholic woman, Roman Catholic community. Do others heard me or not? That's what I said to her. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I said, and I shall be saved. I hope God puts it in her heart. And she will believe. And she will be saved. Let me say, ask you here, what have you done with the answer? Maybe someone here tonight, you know the answer. You know it. You didn't need me to come here tonight to tell you how to be saved. You've known it from a wee lad or a wee girl. But what have you done with it? What have you done with this answer? Have you acted upon it? Have you believed? Have you trusted Christ? If not, why not do it tonight? Why not come and trust him with all of your heart? And friends, he will save you and give you everlasting life. The big question, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. May God bless His word to our hearts tonight for His name's sake. Amen.